Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It has been a while since KB has been in studio with us, and it's great to have Heath Bullock back. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, I don't get the opportunity as often. I know. But it's all good.
We do hear you every Tuesday evening, though, now.
Yeah, I'm with Mike and Amy. Mike Heath, Amy Wells, talking Titans on Tuesday down at Yeehaw Brewery.
It's a solid show, and it's a great venue down there, too.
Guys should come check it out, 6 to 7 on Tuesdays.
We had a big time there for my podcast, Chit-Chad, when you joined me over there at Yeehaw.
That's all right, Keith, what did you think of Chad's podcast going into it? What were you expecting versus what the chat was actually
about? I want some honest feedback here. Let me know what you think.
I honestly expected exactly what Chad said we were going to do. We were just going to talk. Very candid, very honest.
We're going to talk and drink.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
That's how I sell the podcast to everyone.
Yo, good thing that podcast is only 45 minutes. Yo, if that thing was an hour and 15, things might get a little crazy.
Our guy Walter's bringing a straight moonshine cocktails the entire time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
By the way, we always invite you in here when Paul's out. So you're welcome for that.
For sure. Keep me on that short list.
Coming up at 1:45, if you missed the start of the show, Paul has checked in since his colonoscopy this morning. And it was just after anesthesia, which was tremendous radio. We'll play that for you at 1:45. That's coming up. We got a lot to get to this hour. Keith's in studio. We had Delaney's comments yesterday about the culture of an NFL locker room now and maybe just society in general. We'll get to there. We'll open up the phone lines, too, if you want to talk some NFL, college, wherever you want to take it with Keith. He can discuss all of it. 615-737-1045, our number.
So Delaney Walker yesterday is talking about when he came in the league, and this was 2006 when he came in the league, and how different it is from today. And he's talking about, Keith, how you could confront a teammate then, and you could get into it with a teammate, but it would be constructive. You know, at the end of the day, it would be something that could be positive. And he just said, you can't do that now. If you confront a kid or a young player today, they're either going to want to fight you or they're going to want to be traded. And they're going to go tell on you behind your – whatever it may be. And just how the culture of football has changed in that way. And he wasn't complaining about it. You know, he's getting fired up talking about it. But he just said, hey, that's just the way it is now. Is that something you see when you look across the league? And how much different do you think your locker room was compared to today?
Yeah, I definitely, when I obviously outside looking in, can only go off what Delaney is sharing with us about the league. And I definitely see that. You know, you can see that all the ranks. You know, I work in the offseason, I work with Nike at the youth division from the high school level, working with the top players in the country at the high school level. And, you know, these kids are about their Instagram. They're about their likes. They want people to like them, and they, you know, they forget they might not even know what it is all about, you know, just because it's the culture that they're in. And, you know, even at the high school level, going to college, you got all these recruiters kissing these kids' butts, you know, boasting them up there. You're a 5-star, you're a 4-star. Like, if I was coaching, I would want a team of all 3-stars and maybe that played like 5-stars, because I don't want the attitude that comes with a lot of those 5-star, you know, high school football players, because at the end of the day, you still haven't done anything.
You want guys who feel like they need to earn it, that they haven't already earned it.
You need guys that want it, that are hungry, feel like they need to earn it. That is all right with constructive criticism. And I feel like that's what you were just saying. You know, it's all right to criticize and get on someone as long as it's constructive, especially within, you know, a football team. One thing that you have to do if you're going to call someone out, you got to have your game has to be on point all the time, because if you're the guy that's calling people out, they're definitely looking for flaws in your game and times that you mess up on the tape. So I feel like that type of self-accountability helps other people, you know, become accountable, because it's like, look, if this guy is out here doing it and, you know, he's playing at a top level, practices every day, he might talk a bunch of junk, but he backs it up. You got to respect that. And I feel like Delanie Walker is one of those guys on the team that if he wanted to, you know, ruffle somebody's feathers, he's definitely earned that right.
Here's what scares me. Just again, playing this thing forward and with what Delanie's saying and how it could change. What I really appreciate and love about football, it's the ultimate team sport.
Yeah.
If you're not doing your job, someone else not only is not going to look good, they could get hurt.
Yeah.
Quarterback throws it too high across the middle, receiver gets hurt.
Yeah.
Lineman doesn't block, quarterback gets hurt. Linebacker's not in the right run fit, bad things can happen. I love that part of the game. But what I'm seeing, whether it be Antonio Brown, whether it be Jalen Ramsey, whether it be a majority of the Dolphins team wanting to be traded because they lost the first game so bad, again, it's still few and far between, but I fear that sort of what we see with the individual nature of, let's say, the NBA in basketball is starting to manifest itself into the NFL. And I don't think that's a good thing for the game. People are going to talk about players' rights and everything else, but when you're in season and it's a team, it's a sacred thing. At least I would think. I've never been in an NFL locker room and played. You would know, but isn't it kind of a sacred deal when you're playing with your teammates?
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, we're just talking about in general. You know, this isn't about the Titans. We're just talking in general.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it starts from the top. You know, when we're talking about the league as a whole, I guess that would be Roger Goodell. It starts from Roger Goodell. But when you come to the players, it starts with their individual organizations. How do those coaches run their organizations? What is the expectation of those coaches, of those players? And obviously, as fans and people on the outside, we're not privy to that information. You know, obviously, these all 32 coaches, head coaches, stand up and do their press conference and say, you know, what's good and what's politically correct for radio and television. But there's a different message being sent, you know, behind the scenes. So the only way we can see if that message is being received is on Sundays or Thursdays when they put the product out there. And, you know, that would be the best indicator of what's being coached.
I think there's a happy medium in between calling players out and being silent in the locker room. Like, I appreciated the Titans last year, using the Titans as the example. They were not pointing fingers. They were scratching and clawing throughout that season just to stay 500 and have a chance in December. But they didn't point fingers at all the injuries and different things that were going on. Jacksonville did. And that was a locker room that was trying to call people out, and it wasn't working that well. So I prefer what happened here as opposed to Jacksonville a year ago. But I also do want to see some sign of form of life and fire, right, coming out of the locker room from the 30,000-foot view. What do you look for as a former player that indicates that there are some leaders behind the scenes that are doing just that, but not trying to have the turmoil that we saw in Jacksonville?
Like I said, it's just their play on the field. You know, like I think Coach Vrabel said, they're a different type of leaders. You know, when I played, there were five captains. You know, let's see, Kyle, myself, Kerry Collins. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? So All these are all different personalities. Now, Kyle isn't going to call anyone out. Kerry isn't going to call anyone out. But, yeah, I'm damn sure I'm going to call somebody out because I go to work every day and my results show up on film. You know, if I have a bad game, Coach Mack will tell me, somebody will be like, look, we need you to step up. And that's not a problem. So what I'm saying is, as a player, you should already know where your game is at. So if somebody is calling you out, it shouldn't be you taking it personal. It should be like, look, you need to get your stuff together because you're about to become a liability. And that's what I talk about, constructive criticism, because at the end of the day, like Chad just said, it's the ultimate team sport. We're all on the same team going for the same common goal. So if I'm telling you that, look, this is the third down that you got beat, we need you to step up because you're getting toasted all game. Like, yeah, I'm calling you out, but that's on you to step your game up, because if not, look, somebody else is going to take your spot.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Steve Bullock in studio with us. One final point on the culture of the league. I think the generational aspect is a bit overrated, because I think, Keith, there are guys older than you and I that are sensitive now to certain things.
Yeah.
When people are trying to offer constructive criticism. Yeah. Just like the younger generation is. I don't think it's just 25 and younger that have a hard time dealing with that.
No, not at all. I mean, look, people get babied. Some people get babied their whole life, but now I just think it's more socially acceptable to just cry about anything you want to cry about. Like, you know, I understand. You know, not everybody is. It's not about being tough or anything like that.
Right.
It's just like, yo, you're an adult, right? You're an adult.
Well, yesterday I heard like, oh, that this is the culture across the NFL, and that may be true. But to me, it's more of a societal deal across the board. It's not just what's going on in an NFL locker room or the Titans locker room.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like a lot of societal issues. It's easy to just pick a sports league and just dump it on and let's talk about it. So
look, there are soft people in every generation, but it's a fact that we get softer with every generation as a people.
True.
So it's also a fact that there's a higher percentage of mentally soft people that are younger right now. But that's Hutton's right. It's not to say that
there
weren't mentally soft people before.
Their parents raised them that way.
That's what I'm saying. Our parents are softer than our grandparents,
right,
who are softer than our great grandparents. It just keeps getting softer as we get down.
Because
I'm not saying I'm exempt from this. I'm just saying that's just a fact of life.
Well, yeah, like you think you just based on the example you just used, like our parents are. Grandparents and great grandparents had it way harder.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So therefore they're going to be way harder on their kids and on their grandkids and so on and so forth. But now it's just mush.
Yeah.
So kind of in line with that, with Taylor Lewan and the podcast, I feel like, just to kind of restate my take here, I wouldn't do it. I also can understand someone who says, I don't really have a problem with it if everyone's okay with it. I'm just saying the optics are not great, in my opinion, when you left 52 other guys behind because you got popped for something that you could have controlled and you miss four games and your team is losing. I would just go away for 4 weeks. I'm not saying don't do a podcast and don't do all that. I would just kind of be quiet and chill for 4 weeks until I rejoin the team. But the reaction from people that are Titans fans are, how dare you even ask that question? This guy can do whatever he wants. He's a grown man. If he wants to do a podcast, that's fine. Don't even ask the question. I'll kind of pose it to you this way. If you never got suspended for PEDs, is it easy to get suspended for PEDs? Because not many people do across the NFL, right? And if you did, would you be tweeting about the Titans games and would you have a podcast?
Oh,
during the four-game suspension?
I don't know how easy it is to get popped for PEDs. I mean,
don't take PEDs?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that would be the first thing you do. it goes to this, that I guess my answer is we're just in a different generation, because when I was playing, no one would be doing a podcast. I don't think anyone would really be thinking about their podcast,
while serving a suspension.
Yeah, but now it's different. You fast forward to 2019, and you got to know who you're dealing with as well. You know, Taylor has always been, you know, an outspoken guy. You know, the media loves him, and this is something different too. How often do you see an offensive tackle being the face of the team or the voice of the team? So I don't have any objection to it, just because it's the state of the league right now. This is just where it's at. You know, the social media, everybody's – I feel like these guys – take photo shoots before every game and they want to, you know, show everybody, oh, look at my drip, look at my swag. And then you go and play on the field and you look like ass. So like, yeah, you look great before the game and I like your outfit, but you really ain't playing big on the field. So I guess my direct answer is like, no, I don't have a problem with it. It's a different time. And that's who we've grown to know Taylor to be. He's going to be in the media. He's a fun-loving guy, Boss Hog. Like, even, like, you know, even with the whole PED thing, like, he felt the need to explain to everyone, you know, the situation, whereas in my time, You get 4-game suspension, you sit down. But look, Golden Tate tried to explain his too. Like, so that's just the time. Not to just, obviously we're speaking about Taylor, but I just think it's the time and era that we're in.
I said, I didn't have an issue with the question being asked either. I understand where Chad and Paul were coming from yesterday. I was out. But the question of, do I have a problem with him doing a podcast during a suspension? I don't. I would have an issue if, I didn't listen to the entire podcast he was on. I listened to the minute and a half snippet that they sent out of the preview where he's discussing like what it was like, you know, how it sucked during the 4 weeks he's been out. To me, that's harmless.
Talked about how it sucked for running with twos.
Running with twos.
And having the open practice and fans seeing you running with the twos.
So, that on the surface to me doesn't bother me. And if he comes back and doesn't play well, that's not going to be used as the reason why either. Keith, you know as well as I do, the reason why if he doesn't play well, people are going to assume he's not on PEDs anymore. That's what people are going to say. It's not going to be because he was out hosting a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was a non-issue for me based on the subject matter. If he's doing keg stands on video or he's vacationing in Cabo, that's one thing.
But see, that's the thing. Like in my eyes, I'm glad you brought that up. So you get a 4-game suspension. When you're suspended for 4 games, you can't go to the facility. You can't do anything, be involved with the team. So it's really like for, someone working a 9-to-5, it's really like you just got 4 weeks off non-paid, but Taylor's a millionaire, so he can do what he wants. But yeah, like, what if he was in Cabo or on vacation and then he took a picture with him and his wife or him and his girlfriend on the beach on his 4-day, his four-week vacation suspension.
Right.
But I think people would have a problem with that, too.
So I would. That would look a lot worse than doing a podcast.
But what if he's out there, like Zeke was in Cabo training. So what if he was out there training the whole time and he didn't show the clips of him training or whatever? He just showed the happy family time out here in Cabo. You know what I'm saying? It's catch-22.
Yeah, but the difference, though, there is a difference in a guy trying to get paid versus a guy that just got paid popped for PEDs.
Right.
So
there you go.
But and here's what surprises me about it. Look, it's not going to affect him at all. And no one on this show is arguing that him going to do an hour podcast is going to prevent him from getting his body ready for
No, of course
That's an idiotic thing to say. But I think it's surprising to me how so many Titans fans don't seem to be disappointed at all that the team is 1-2, could very well be 2-1 or 3. They're 0-2 in the division, and their highest paid player, their best player, is out for 4 weeks, and we ask a question about it if he should be doing a podcast, and it's just universal defense of the guy. Do whatever he wants. It's fine. You know, the guy, he's dad. Dad can do whatever he wants, and there's no issue. That's what's weird to me, because I still feel like, and again, I don't want to sound like some old guy, but even in your day, that would not be the case from Titans fans.
Yeah.
Like, how accepting are we of just losing and doing whatever you want and not even contributing to the team on the field? And it's okay. We like the guy, so he's completely fine. That's what's weird to me about it.
Yeah,
you would have gotten crushed back then if you would have been out for 4 weeks and the Titans sucked.
Yeah, nah, for sure. But, I don't – if I'm on the team, there's nothing. What can I say if I'm on the team? Because he is, like you just said, our highest paid guy. He is, one of the pillars of this team.
Well, you can't say anything, and no one can in that locker room, and they won't. But would you like it?
Me personally, nah. If I was on his team, I would say something though. That's the thing. Like I'm not bite. Like we're here. The business of football is to win football games. So look. If it's my teammate and, if something gets back to me the wrong way, like, I don't know. I'm probably sure at 1-2, I'll find any reason to say something to somebody. But, the fact of the matter is he's not in the locker room. He can't help. So it doesn't even matter. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to call him or say anything. But when he came back, I'm sure we'd definitely have a talk. He'd be happy to talk. And then it would take –
He comes back and you're 1-3. You're saying something.
It wouldn't be anything aggressive. I'm just making sure his mind is right, because look, we've missed you in this 4-game span. You've been doing your thing. Yo, is your mind, you ready to play? Let's get it, because he is you know, one of the better tackles when he's focused and he's locked in. So as a player, as a teammate, and I assume I would be one of the elder spokesmen in this situation. Yeah, we're having a conversation just to for me to, well, let's go. This is what's going on. And I'm sure he's going to want to talk to his boys, kind of, you know, bring in that extra energy. He's going to, I have a feeling he's definitely going to be a catalyst when he comes back to help this team in many ways, if not mentally with the attitude, because football is 90% your mentality you bring to the game.
Let me ask you guys this, Chad. Would you, you're saying that the fact that they're 1-2 plays into this. If the Titans are 3-0 and he does a podcast, does your opinion
much
change?
More acceptable from fans? I look,
it's
I
already acceptable now from fans.
No, I wouldn't.
Fans, I feel like fans don't know what they want because
I don't think Twitter's representative of the entire fan
not
base.
At all,
we loaded up the lines with people who agreed with us or agreed with me and didn't like it. I wouldn't do it either way. It doesn't change my opinion one bit. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't do it if I were as a teammate. It would piss me off. But it's certainly everything's better if you're 3-0.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like
that's a fact of life.
Like my thing is like, okay, they're 1-2. Fans are going crazy. Some fans are going crazy. Some it's like, you know, 50-50. But at the end of the day, 2-2 is good. Especially if, you know, Taylor Wan is out half the year. 2-2 is good. And at the end of the day, nobody remembers September and December if you're in the mix.
That's right. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Keith, I really enjoyed your worst ethic and watching you play back in the day. One thing that I think is different nowadays is the lack of self-policing on the team. And that word team, you know, the best teams in the world are not playing professional sports. The best teams in the world are at Fort Bragg. They're at Coronado, California. The best teams in the world are in the military. And when you look at those guys, what happens if somebody gets wounded and they have to be out, go to rehab, get medical attention for a couple of weeks? If those guys were out pursuing other interests while they're in recovery, the team would self-police, and they would hang those guys out, and it would be solved within the team. It wouldn't have to be a coach, wouldn't have to be a general manager, especially if you've done something stupid and you're facing an inquiry or you're going before a military tribunal. That's going to be a problem, and you're not going to be on the team anymore. Now, I'm not saying cut Taylor Lewan. I mean, he's a good football player. But one of the things we're seeing in professional sports across the board nowadays is a lack of accountability and lack of self-policing, and it's a big difference from really the best teams in the world. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
All right, Wayne.
Yeah, that was great. I appreciate that, Wayne. First and foremost, like I totally agree with what Wayne is saying. I, for one, since I never served or, you know, went to the Army or Armed, so I, you know, teeter with comparing, you know, a professional
right.
sport.
Yeah, same here.
It's a false equivalency.
But what he is saying as far as accountability and all those things, self-policing, that when I got here with the Titans, that was the mentality. You know, that was, you know, the Blaine Bishop, the Eddie George, the Steve McNair, the Frank Wycheck, the Bruce Matthews, the Brad Hopkins, like all those names I'm naming, those guys were 8-9 year vets or 6-7, you know, they were well into the game. So as a young guy, you're falling in line. You're falling in line and you're learning that style. You're learning, okay, this is the team that I'm on. This is how they do things here. And this is the modus of operations for this team. So when I become a third, fourth year guy and a leader, things aren't going to vary too much. We're going to have the same structure, even though those guys are already left. But this is how I learned, and this was what got us to be 13-3. And I don't know any other way. I remember when we were the year we went 9-7 or 7-9, the 2001 year. Eddie Robinson, a 13-year vet, we were like, at some point in the season, maybe like 3, we had a losing record. And, you know, more guys were preoccupied with getting back into the team lounge to play ping pong, pool, volleyball, and video games than getting in their book and making the team better. So Eddie Robinson unplugged all the video games, took all the pool sticks, took all the ping pong paddles, and, you know, let's get to work. And
you want them, come get them.
Yeah, and in another situation when I was with the
Giants. My high school basketball coach destroyed an old school Nintendo one time in the locker room.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got
literally
like,
threw it off the wall because we were playing too much Nintendo instead of practicing.
But this is, like, in the NFL, it's your job. So come to work. and do your job.
Well, look, and I'm not trying to equate my high school basketball team in Mount Juliet with the NFL. Also, and I'm never going to be insensitive enough to try to equate military service with professional sports, because that's life or death.
Yeah, for sure.
What I see, though, with a lot of this, and this is kind of a round and round thing, for years we've been telling people it's dangerous to equate your job with the job of an NFL player.
Right.
Right. Well, if I did this at work, then I wouldn't be allowed to do it, so they shouldn't be allowed to do it. Right. I can't believe they hold out because I can't not show up to work. Well, it's different because the value is different. But I'll say this also. We've now entered an era where with this Taylor Lewan thing, I'm hearing the defense being, well, if you guys got suspended, then you'd be able to go. You can't have that both ways, because being on an NFL team is special. It is different than most cubicle jobs.
Privilege.
It is different than most other professions, and you're getting paid for that difference.
A lot of money.
So I also don't want to hear on the other side NFL players saying, well, if this guy who makes $35,000 a year can go and do it, then I should be. No, because it, like we said, it's the ultimate team sport. You are a part of a locker room and a culture and a team, and when you sign up for that, you're there, and you shouldn't be doing things to distract from it. I wanted to ask you this, Keith, because we talked about it earlier. When you're on a team and you've been in the situation where one side of the ball is producing and doing their job, the other side isn't. That's the Titans, where they are right now. Defense looks good.
What side am I on?
You're on defense, all right? You're on this
side. You know what side you're playing
on. Are we the producing side or the non?
Both. And maybe you've been on both sides of this.
It's like your career.
You're on the producing side of it right now, but how to keep, I don't know if keep the peace is the right way to put it, but how to sort of push the envelope and let the other side know you're not happy without crossing a line.
Oh, that's easy. That's in practice. You know, when you get to practice and you're in those, you know, individual drills against, you know, the offense sometimes, or you have to give them, or you just kick their butt in practice, and you just turn the heat up on them in practice. If you're vice versa, if the offense is playing well, defense isn't, you air their ass out in practice. Vice versa, defense is playing well and offense, shut it all down, because that. And then you have the right to talk to them, and they get the point when you come to them. It's like, look, we need you guys. Because like you said, at the end of the day, it's a team. But look, everybody's, you know, been beat up or beat up their little brother before. And you know what I'm saying? Because he didn't clean the room, and now mom is on everybody. You know what I'm saying?
How hard is it to not say anything in the games where emotions are high? You're on the sideline. You're there. You've got three straight three and outs. Your offense has three straight three and outs, and you're going right back on the field.
You know
you
what?
Just stay separate?
Nah, you know, sometimes you have to give them a little sugar, you know, like go down, like, come on, guys, like, you know what I mean? Especially, like, if defense is playing well, we get a three and out. If we get in three and out after they went three straight three and outs, look, we're still in this game. Come on. All we need is a point. All we need is one first down, like, whatever it is to get those guys going. Because at the end of the day, they're your brothers, and you've seen them do it before. Whatever it is. At that point of the game that's stalling them out, they'll eventually get over it. But you can't turn your back on them. You definitely have to keep encouraging them and, you know, help them see it through.
A random question, and I don't mean this as a joke. I want to get your take on this. Do you think the Tom Brady tweet about the game being unwatchable on Thursday set up any response from the league to have that conference call with officials?
Absolutely. I think so. Like, things like that.
Because it was Brady?
Yeah, things like that get people's attention. You know, you see that the holding calls have gone down since that tweet.
Yeah.
You know, so things like that get their attention. But then also, in the beginning of the year, the refs are kind of working out their kinks too. So I feel like they're always going to muff something up in the beginning and in the end if it's playoffs, but for sure in the beginning
they're in a tough spot. Like I'm sure
Vegas is tough on them, man, you know.
Yeah. That I love. But the some of the reviews now there where they're reviewing even the pass interference, they're not overturning those defensive pass interference calls. They're not until it's egregious, like we saw in the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that's a real thing. They're reviewing pass interference. That's interesting.
Yep, the judgment calls are now being reviewed.
Those refs need to get that LASIK that you're selling over there.
That's right. Loading business. They need a miracle. Come up. The miracle workers.
You're headed to London. Can we discuss this trip?
Sure.
Is this your first trip to London since we were there with you
last year?
Yeah, it is.
You are the world traveler.
Yeah, it wasn't my first trip back to Europe. Well, it's
right.
Not, well, it's the UK. I'm sorry.
Right.
But yeah, I've been over.
Isn't it crazy that was just right out about a year ago?
Who's playing less next than week a year over ago. There? I should know. Is it Jacksonville?
No, it's the Bears and somebody else. I don't know.
All right.
Just going to make a couple moves while I'm out there, you know.
It's awesome. Go to Barrel Boy and Banker for us if you don't mind.
You know what? I will go back and I will take a picture. I hope the same. Only way I won't go back is if they're hosting another team.
Yeah.
But
They might be.
Please go back to that same place and send it to us. That was awesome.
Because they did host, I don't know who was there ahead of the Titans last year, but they were a host of another team there on their trip.
Well, if it's the Bears bar, I'll go because the homies that I'm going with play for the Bears. So we'll see.
Javon's going to Atlanta. I was asking Keith if he would be down there on Saturday for the party.
Yeah, I was supposed to go, but I'm leaving on Tuesday. I got to put some family time in.
Yep, I got it.
You guys know.
Follow him on Twitter at Cable53. This was a flashback for us. Back to
Some things accomplished today. Let me know how your how the listeners felt about our segment. You know, they're kind of fickle around here.
And we put a poll question out. You get 12,000 votes. I like how they were like, "This is a ridiculous question," but 13,000 people voted. Right? Look at Chad shaking his head.
It's beyond me the way people react.
Everybody has a voice, so they definitely use them. Like people.
Oh,
like,
look! If you want to say no problem, I have no issue with it. It's the you guys have just gone way too far with this. Give me a break.
Yeah, relax.
How much money is the guy making to sit at home and cost his team a quarter of the season? Give me a break. Nothing up.
Keith, coming up, we're going to play Paul's. He turned the recorder on as soon as he woke up from anesthesia from his colonoscopy this morning. It's great. If you haven't heard it, you need to. It's funny. Keith Bullock, this has been a flashback for us where he used to join us on Thursdays weekly, and now he's doing great things with Titans Radio on Tuesday nights. But you're welcome in here anytime you want. And thanks for doing this for us, coming to the studio today.
I appreciate it.